This is Radharaj Sudhanidhi, May 12, 2010, discussing Radharani's Guna Mahima. And these are Radhika's, this is verse 27 from Radharaj Sudhanidhi, Radhika's six jewel-like qualities, her Chintamani Gunam. And yesterday we discussed her Chintamani Pranamatam. She's a Chintamani jewel, or a praying Chintamani for her devotees and followers, that she fulfills her desires to attain her eternal service and eternal service of Krishna. Chintamani pranamatam brajanagarinam chudamani kulamanir brishabhanu namna sashamakama varashanti manir nikunja ushamanir ridaya samputa sanmanir na. May Sri Radhika, who is a Chintamani gem for the surrendered souls, the crown jewel of the girls of Braj, the jewel of Maharaj Brishabhanu's dynasty, the jewel who pacifies Shyam's desires, and the jewel who adorns the cottage and the play bowers, be the real jewel in the jewel box of our hearts. Now the second gem is Brajanagarinam Chudamani. Brajanagarinam Chudamani. Mani, of course, means gem. Chuda means the top knot or the crest, on the head, the crown, Chudamani. Nagari means the female, Brajanagari, Brajanagar. Yashamati Nandana Brajabara Nagara. Brajabara Nagara is Krishna. Nagar actually means playboy. It means a gallant lover who is engaging in extramarital affairs with ladies that are known as the Nagaris. So Radharani, of all those Nagaris of Braj, of all those various sakis who offer themselves for the amorous pleasure of Sri Krishna, she is a Chudamani. Radhika is the crown jewel, or the crest jewel, among all the damsels of Braj. So what distinguishes her, because in Braj there's millions of gopis, thousands of gopis, and they all have this Mahabhav. But actually the Mahabhav that's manifested by the various Nagaris, Brajanagaris, besides Radha, they're expressions of their intense ecstasy and love for Krishna, their Mahabhav. They're simply like waves, like a wave from the unlimited ocean of Radharani's Mahabhav. Madanaiki Mahabhav Samudra. She's like a Samudra, Anata Sindhu. Mahabhavati. Mahabhavati, Ananta Sindhu Mahabhavati Radha. Her Mahabhav is like an unlimited ocean. So this is how she proclaims her supremacy as the Chudamani of all the Nagaris. Because they're all beautiful, they're all attractive, they're all satisfying, pleasing to Krishna. But what satisfies Krishna most is his Mahabhav, and only Radharani has his Madanakya expression that drives Krishna completely mad. So she's to proclaim Radharani's supremacy as a crest jewel, even above himself. Krishna arranged personally arranged to coronate Radharani as Vrindavaneshwari, the queen of Vrindavan. This is in Madhav Mahotsav, Jiva Goswami's beautiful book, Madhav Mahotsav, which is in English, and you can read that book. And it's very interesting, because the question is asked, why is this Mahotsav called Madhav Mahotsav? When Krishna was arranging with Vrindadevi and Yogamaya for this festival, he said, listen, I want to arrange a festival, because Radharani is a Brajanagari. She's a Brajanagarinam. Brajanagarinam Chudamani. She's a crest jewel of all my lovers, of all my intimate conjugal lovers, all my paramour lovers. Radharani is a crest jewel. And I want everyone to know that. Otherwise, unless I proclaim it to the world and to everyone in Braj, her supreme and unique position, other gopis like Chandravali or Lalita, etc., they might think that they're pretty good, that they're some of the top in the top three or runners-up, or maybe even the best ones. Chandrabali has that ego that maybe I'm better. But I want everyone to know clearly. So then he said, he asked Yogamaya and Vrindadevi, so I want to organize, you organize a festival to bathe Radharani, a royal Abhishek, Raj Abhishek, a Rani, whatever you say, Rani Abhishek, Rajani, to bathe and call all the ladies of the universe, call Arundhati and Shachi and Durga and Parvati and everyone, call the ladies of the universe to come and glorify and bathe Radharani with a very elaborate and wonderful ceremony. But when you're arranging for this festival and organizing everyone in Braj, don't call it Radha Mahotsav, because that will create some envy from the other gopis and suspicion from them. And also Radharani, she's too shy. She's Lajeshri. She's the queen of shyness. She's the empress of shyness and modesty. And she won't want to, she wants always to glorify me and arrange festivals for my happiness, Janmashtami, etc. She comes every year to Nandagram, and for 4 or 5 days she celebrates my birthday festival, my Janmashtami, every year. Sridham comes, Anangamandri comes, Rishabhanu Kirti, that I live with my mother and father in Nandagram, and they do so many, she cooks so many wonderful offerings, makes so many arrangements for my Janmotsava. So she won't want a Radha Mahotsav, a grand festival of Radha. So let us, you tell everyone that you're organizing a Madhav Mahotsav. And everyone thinks, oh, this is Maha Utsav. Madhav Mahotsav means this is a grand festival to glorify the husband of the goddess of fortune, of Madhav, of Krishna. So let's all take part. But what happened there is that when the coronation guard, after the royal Abhishek, and then there's Radharani is dressed and decorated, then the final ritual, you could say, was to offer the coronation garland to proclaim Radharani, and then Vrindadevi is about to offer that, and Krishna was hiding, because this is a lady's function, and Krishna was hiding in the groves, in the arbors, looking through, watching this beautiful ceremony which he orchestrated, and he immediately kind of disappeared on the scene and Vrindadevi was bewildered. Who do I offer the garland to? The Krishna or Radharani? Because all garlands usually end up on Krishna's neck first and Radharani's neck second, as Krishna Prasadi Mala. So then Krishna, when she reached towards Krishna, Krishna took the garland from Vrindadevi and just turned to Radharani and said, Pranamane Shri Radharani Ki Jai. So she's Brajanagarinam Chudamani. Jiva Goswami revealed this wonderful lila. He didn't actually reveal it. It's also mentioned in Padma Purana and other Purans. But he told it in a very beautiful and poetic way in his classic Sanskrit classic Madhav Mahotsav. The pastime took place up near Koshi in a village called Umrao or Umrai means queen. So that's, the village is named after this ceremony 5,000 years ago, where Radharani was proclaimed the queen of Vrindavan. Vrindavane Shri Radharani Ki Jai. Kotai go prema mahi Radhe Radhe. Kotai go prema mahi Radhe Radhe. Vrishabhanu Nandini Radhe Radhe. Vrindavaneshwari Radhe Radhe. Kanu Manu Mohini Radhe Radhe. Ashtashaki Shiromani Radhe Radhe. Ashtashaki Shiromani Radhe Radhe. Kotai go prema mahi Radhe Radhe. Kotai go prema mahi Radhe Radhe. Vrindavane Shri Vrishabhanu Nandini Radharani Ki Jai. So as I mentioned, many of these qualities and guna mahima, glorious qualities of Radharani that are being mentioned by Srila Saraswati Pad, Prabhunanda Saraswati, are actually branches, you could say, or you can find a connection to the list of Radharani's 25 primary qualities. So if we examine this quality that he's mentioning, this verse 27, Bhajanagarinam Chudamani, the Radharani is the crown and crest jewel of all the beautiful damsels of Braj, because of her unique Madanakya Mahabhav, which is so wonderful. then we can see that quality 24 of Radharani's 25 qualities is listed as Krishna Priya Avali Mukhya. Like we have Deepavali, which means a series of, a row of, a group of lamps, one after the other, Avali. And Padavali, Padavali, Pada, Padavali means a row of padas, or it's a verse, Padyavali. I mean, there's a book by Rupa Goswami, Padyavali, which is a collection of so many beautiful shlokas glorifying Krishna and bhakti and so many aspects of Krishna consciousness. So Radharani is the Krishna Priya Avali Mukhya. She is a chief. She is a chief among all among that group, that Avali, that group of devotees who are Krishna Priya. Means all the gopis. Radharani is a chief gopi amongst all those that are dear to Krishna. Krishna Priya. Krishna Priya Radharani Ghi Jai. And Prabhupada describes this quality of Krishna Priya Avali Mukhya as greatest among Krishna's girlfriends. And Jivadharma says, the most prominent of all of Krishna's sakis. Krishna Priya Avali Mukhya Radharani Ki. This is Radharani's 24th quality, that she's the most prominent or greatest among all of Krishna's sakis, or the damsels of Braj, as Prabhupada would often say. So this 24th quality, we can see it mirrored here in this second Chintamani jewel-like quality of Radharani mentioned in verse 27 of Radhara Sudanidhi Vrajanagarinam Chudamani. That of all the Vrajanagaris, which means all the damsels of Braj, she's the Krishna Priya Avali Mukhya. She's the chief, principal, primary Nagari. The third Chintamani Gunam, or jewel-like quality, Chintamani jewel-like quality of Srimati Radhika, as the verse is telling us, is Kulamani, Kulamanir Vrishabhanu Namna. She's a Kulamani. We have Gurukul, the family of the Guru. So Kula means the family, the dynasty, the group. So Kulamani means she's a jewel of the dynasty of Vrishabhanu. Radhika is the family jewel in Vrishabhanu Maharaj's dynasty. And how is that? Because Radharani's presence in his dynasty, presence in his family, illuminates the entire dynasty of Vrishabhanu Maharaj. Obviously, in your family, if one of your children or one of your son becomes a prime minister or president, then that particular son who becomes a prime minister will be the most... He'll lend a lot, create a lot of fame for your dynasty, for your family. Oh, your name is so and so. Oh, was your father as a prime minister? Yes, he was my grandfather. So this is the position of Radharani. She's illuminated the whole dynasty because, and how is it? Because again, Radharani's the topmost embodiment of Mahabhav. And she has appeared in that dynasty. So he's become so glorious that it's one of the distinctive guna mahima, one of the distinctive gunas or qualities of Radharani, that she's just one person, the entire dynasty, which is thousands and thousands of years old. She has illuminated and distinguished that entire dynasty because Mahabhav Sarupini has appeared as his daughter in his dynasty. Just like in the Chandravamsha, the descendants from Chandra were born in the dynasty of Chandradev, the moon god, who is the most glorious representative of his dynasty, Chandravamsha. Sri Krishna Bhagavan Ki. And you have the Surya Vamsha, the descendants of Ikshvaku and Manu. If you trace the lineage of this particular form of Bhagavan, it goes back to Ikshvaku and Manu and Suryadev, Vivishwan. And who is the most illustrious member of the Surya Vamsha, of the sun god? Bangla Ramachandra Ki. So Radharani is the most illustrious, illuminating, brilliant Banu. It's interesting because he's Vrishabhanu. Banu means radiance, sunlight. And Radharani is the sunlight of the sunlight. She is Banu Nandini. Bano Nandini Radha Ki. Nandini means daughter, and she's the daughter of Vrishabhano. He's the son, and she's 10 million sons. One son created a daughter that has the brilliance and illumination of 10 million sons. So Vrishabhano, he brought, or at least he acted or acts as the father of Srimati Radharani. So he's glorious, and Radharani's glorious, and it's her Chintamani Gunam, this quality here, Prajanagarinam, excuse me, Kulamani Vrishabhano Namna. Now the fourth Chintamani gem of Radharani is this Shama Kama Vara Shanti Mani. This is a very interesting situation. Sham Kam. Sham, Krishna, Kam, Lust, Vara Shanti Mani. Mani means jewel, or Chintamani Mani. Chintamani. Radhika is the jewel that pacifies Sham's desires. She cools and relieves his lust. So this is, she's distinguished, this is one of her distinguishing qualities, that she has this ability, this jewel-like Chintamani Gunam, this jewel-like quality. One of her six jewel-like qualities is this Shanti Mani. She's the jewel of peacefulness, the gem of peacefulness. So we should maybe pray that some of those facets, because a gem has facets, any gem has facets, and diamond, the more costly and rare the gem or jewel is, the more facets it has and the more light it emits, Suryakantamani, etc. So Radharani is Chintamani, so she has, Chintamani has the most facets and emits the most radiance and light, has the most prabhav, so she's Shanti Mani. So we are a little bit in the darkness of our own agitation, a little bit overwhelmed by the clouds and darkness of our own disturbances and lack of peaceful mind. And it says that without a peaceful mind, you can't think of God. You can't think of her beloved Krishna. So Radharani will give us a peace of mind so we can remember Krishna. Shanti Mani Radha Ki. She's a Chintamani of peacefulness. She has the Nobel Peace Prize? Radharani is a Chintamani Peace Prize. The Nobel gem. She's not the Nobel. Nobel is some kind of scientist who left a bunch of money to offer prizes, Mr. Nobel. But she's Nobel. There's a guy, N-O-B-E-L, it's a scientist who discovered something. He started this prize thing. Yeah, he started it. He left a bunch of money to give money for that prize. She's not. She's a noble, regal, glorious gem and crest gem of peacefulness. And we know that Radharani is very shanti. Krishna's always agitated, always disturbed. When Krishna was holding Govardhan Hill, his left hand, his pinky finger of his left hand, and he was looking at, it says that this is a quality of Krishna's shyness, nectar devotion. He was glancing over all the Brijbasis that were a little bit lower than him because he was standing up and they were a little bit lower. And he glanced over towards the gopis and he saw the globe-like golden raised globes of Radharani's pot, water pot, Kumbha Stana. The globe rising above her choli, of her beautiful, full and effulgent, radiant, slightly raised, beautiful breasts. And he became agitated. He became disturbed. And then he started shaking. You know, the hill started wobbling. And all the coward men immediately put up their sticks all up the hill. And then when he somehow withdrew his glance from Radharani's all-attractive breasts, and then he looked towards his brother was laughing. This is a nectar devotion, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Baladev Dauji was laughing, and Krishna got really embarrassed and really shy because he thought that Balaram caught him. And Balaram caught his younger brother staring at the breasts of Radhika when he's supposed to be performing a serious engagement of saving the Brijvasis from the downpour and devastation of Indra's pralaya and Samvartika clouds. But actually, that's not the fact. As Krishna exhibited his quality of shyness and embarrassment before his brother due to that situation. But actually, Balaram was smiling and laughing because he was laughing at, not at Krishna, because he didn't actually detect that. Krishna was so clever and expert at that. Because he did it all with a Krishna Kripa Kataksha. Sidelong glance at Krishna's naughty eyes, roving eyes, and Sham Kam, Sham Akshakam, Sham Ak Kam, his lusty eyes, or his roving eyes, as they say. His roving eyes are roving over those golden mountains. He was trying to hold up Giridhari, one mountain, but when Sham's eyes wandered over those twin peaks, you know, the twin trade centers, but when Krishna's bumblebee eyes wandered over the twin peaks of Radharani's golden breast, and he couldn't hold up Giridhari anymore, he became disturbed and agitated. He started trembling. So he thought that Balaram was laughing and smiling at him, so he's very embarrassed to get caught in the act of lusting over somebody's wife, or Radharani, in front of your older brother. It doesn't look very good, especially when you're supposed to be performing a heroic act, a great act of chivalry and viraras. This is viraras. Look at my little brother, the hero. But Balaram didn't know his mind and didn't know he was looking at Radharani, but he did see all the Brijvasis, Nanda Baba and Banu Maharaj and Subhanu and Abhinandan, and everybody's holding their sticks up, and Sridham Subha holding their cowarding sticks up to keep the mountain from falling off Krishna's hand. But at that time, although Krishna was agitated, Sham Kam, Radharani was not agitated at all. She was just standing there looking at Krishna so beautifully and sweetly. Totally shanti, 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 he. But this is Radharani. She's shanti here as for Krishna, at least for Krishna. And we were mentioning, maybe for us also, we can pray to her because she's glorified as Shantimani. That she's Shantimani, which means the jewel of peacefulness. And we're Ashantaman. Our man, which means our mind, is not Shanti. We're not Shushant. Like we heard the qualities, one of the qualities of our Devananda Pandit in Chaitanya Bhagavat, he was described as Sushant. Su means very, extremely shant and peaceful. The word dushant, durshant, we're not peaceful at all. We're extremely disturbed and agitated practically all the time. So Radharani is shantimani. But sham kam vara shantimani, that Radharani, she is that chintamani, especially for Sham Sundar. When he's feeling the burning fire of his lusty desires, then simply by a Radha Kripa Kataksha, a glance of Radharani or a gentle, modest smile is enough to pacify and relieve all his burning lust. In fact, there's a pastime about this in the springtime in the kunjas of Govardhan. When spring comes, of course, everyone knows that after winter time that spring brings Cupid. And Kandarpa becomes very active with the spring season, the fresh breezes coming from the south, the air starts to warm up, flowers start to open up, and the rather still and cold air of the winter becomes suffused with sweet blossoming flowers, beginning with mango blossoms and other lotuses, and flowers begin to blossom in the springtime and suffuse their sweet, attractive, romantic fragrance into the air. And the north winds subside and go back to the Himalayas, and the Himalayan breezes scented with sandalwood begin to waft over Brajadam. So all these udipans and of the fragrance and the gentle wind, dear Shamir of springtime, Vasant Ritu, are very conducive to loving feelings. Sometimes it describes that Krishna goes into Nikunja and he gets attacked. He has a very formidable enemy that he can barely, although he can kill the greatest demons without even any weapons. In Braj, Krishna doesn't use any weapons. He uses no gada. No gada, no chakra. These are his weapons. Gada and chakra. Disc and club. But in Braj, Krishna uses a little karate chop. Just uses the back of a hand or a little kick, a kick or a nudge, or just expands his arm. He does it all just wrestling and slapping and give a punch here or there. No weapons at all. Doesn't use any guns or bombs or RDX or anything. It kills the most ferocious monsters that are yojanas long and yojanas high, and inconceivably grotesque monsters. Kills him effortlessly, just yawning and smiling. Okay, she okay. Whoa. Puts his hand, arm in his mouth, and just knocks his teeth out, and his eyes pop out, and he passes stool and urine and goes to Yamalok. That's the end of Keshi. Keshi Damana Sri Krishna Ki. Jai. But now, when Krishna's in the Kunj in Vasant Ritu and Govardhan near Paitagram, then this extremely, unbelievably powerful enemy attacks Krishna. His name is Kandarparaj. Kandarparaj, Cupid, the king of lust, the god of lust. And Krishna, he's helpless. He doesn't know how to counterattack. He doesn't know how to retaliate or even defend himself. So he's just... And what does Kandarparaj attack with? He attacks with the spring season and the beautiful spring breezes and the buzzing of the bees. Sandal-scented breezes, mango blossoms, and cuckoos sighing calls. The cuckoos, they sing. The coils, they vibrate the fifth note, which sounds like when the cooing of a lover at the time of union. So when Krishna hears this, it becomes an udipan. He says, oh, this is not good. His ears are being attacked by the singing of the kokils. His nose is being attacked by the fragrant sandal breezes and mango blossoms. And his sense of touch is being attacked by the dear Shamir and the breezes from the south. And what to speak of his mind is being attacked by the calm Agni, the fire of desire. And he's really trembling. From all sides he's being attacked. Can you imagine if an enemy is attacking you from four sides or five sides? Krishna only has... How many senses do we have? We have five senses grouped around the mind. There's six senses and all of them are being attacked. His heart, his mind, his smell. And when you smell something, then it stimulates a sense of taste. So he's smelling his fragrant breezes, then he starts imagining the taste of Radharani's lips, which are sweeter than mango blossoms or more fragrant than sandalwood. So basically he's getting pulverized by Kandarpa. And he doesn't know what to do. He's impaled by the five weapons and five arrows of Kandarpa. So then some mandris, they notice Krishna's terrible condition. Now he's being defeated. It doesn't look like he's going to survive. So they run to Radharani and Yavat, and they say, oh, listen, this Krishna's terrible. He's being attacked on all sides by Kandarpa. You have to rescue him. Many times he's rescued you in the past. So you have to come and rescue him. He's in a terrible predicament, being attacked on all sides by Kandarparaj. He can't even fight back. He's just moaning, oh, Radha, oh, Radha, oh, Radha. He's so much agitated and disturbed and overheated. So then Radharani comes to the rescue because she's Sham Kam Vara Shanti Mani Radha Ki Jai. Shanti Mani Radha Ki Jai. This is Radharani's Chintamani Gun, her wonderful quality that she can pacify, completely pacify and relieve and soothe Krishna of all of his desire, burning desire, and push back that enemy of Kandarpa, actually drive him out of the Kunj, and send him back to his cave. Radharani to the rescue! Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da! There she comes over the hill with all her munchy, sucky soldiers. Da-da-da-da! Krishna sees it. Relief is around the corner. So we human beings, we also get disturbed, as I mentioned, get agitated. And whenever When we travel in the train, whenever some Indian person, he meets a sadhu, or someone dressed as a Vaishnava, he always asks a question. May I ask you a question? Are you finding peace? Are you peaceful? Are you shanti? You're doing this Hare Krishna thing, Krishna consciousness, ISKCON, whatever. It makes you peaceful? They always ask this. It's the number one question. Besides, how do you like our country? How do you like our country? Where are you from? Then they say, how long are you in this country? How long have you been here? I say, Chobis Sal, 24 years. They say, what? Usually I say like this, just to have fun. I meet someone somewhere, they say, how long have you been in our India? I said, not long, just a short time. Oh, you just came like a holiday a few months. I said, yeah, not long. How long have you been here? So only 24 years. It's 24 years. He says, you're practically an Indian. I said, maybe, I don't know. I'm trying to become Krishna's devotee. So they ask like that. So then we say, yes, if you turn to God, then you'll find peace. That's how we preach. Yes, yes, I am peaceful. I found peace. Shanti Mani Radha, Shanti Mani Krishna. Krishna consciousness means Radha consciousness. You're conscious of Krishna and Radha, then you get that Chintamani gem of Radharani. Shanti is an energy, it's a potency, it's a Shakti. Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. Shanti is female. Shanti is a potency of Krishna, embodied in its fullest form in the gem-like Chintamani quality of Radharani, Shanti Mani Radha. So when one becomes Krishna conscious, then he gets this advantage. Of course, as mentioned, Prabhupada, he said that this verse from Gita, this is our answer that we tell people, if you live your life like this, then you'll also be peaceful. And that verse is there. Prabhupada called it the peace formula. In the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 5, verse 29, the verse is there. We have to recognize some things. Who is Krishna? So basically the question arises, you want peace, and the only way you can get peace is from God. People say when someone dies, they say, oh, well, he's resting in peace. After he dies, they say, let him rest in peace. Now that you're dead, they say, let him rest in peace. That's the only time in a person's life when he's peaceful, when he's dead. If he's alive, he's agitated. If he's alive, he's disturbed. So a peaceful man is a dead man. That's a fact. If you're alive in the world of sense gratification, if you're alive in body time, if you're alive in the samsara, then you're actually disturbed. When you commit social suicide and you cut off all your connections, Tyaktva Sudharmam Charanam Bhujam Harer, and renounce everything for the service of Krishna, then you become dead to the world, dead to your relatives, dead to all upadis and designations. And then you find peace. So it's a fact. You have to die to find peace. Let him rest in peace. Only a dead man is peaceful. So this verse in 5:29, Krishna is saying that Bhoktaram Yagatapasam Sarva Loka Maheshwaram Suridam Sarvabhutanam Gyatva Mam Shantam Richati. This is the peace formula. Prabhupada said the peace formula. Your anxiety will subside when you come to understand. Your anxiety, your disturbance, your agitation, it will all subside and diminish and disappear when you come to understand that everything is in my hands. This is Krishna speaking. You will become shanti, peaceful, when you understand that everything is in my hands, Krishna's hands, and that I am not your enemy, rather I am your friend. Suridam, your bosom friend, Surit, dear inner friend. I have a friendly relationship with you all. I am all in all. But I am your well-wisher and friend. I am all in all means I am the Maheshwaram. And I am the Bhoktaram and the Ayagatapasam. Yes, I am the controller of all the planets. I am vast, I am grand, I am opulent, I am majestic. I am God. Maheshwaram. And I am and the Maheshwaram of all the planets. And I am the Yajnatapasam. I'm the goal of all yajnas and Bhoktaram. I'm the enjoyer of all yajna and sacrifice. Yajnavai Vishnu. But I'm also very near and dear to you. Although I'm all in all, I have a very friendly and intimate, close relationship with you. I'm your well-wisher and your friend. When you come to realize this, then you will find real peace. Otherwise, you will continue to worry without any end. A person in full consciousness of me, knowing me to be the ultimate enjoyer of all sacrifices and austerities, the Supreme Lord and controller of all controllers, and the well-wisher of all living entities, attains peace from all material miseries. So this is the boon and benediction of Krishna consciousness, that one gets this, turns to God, the Supreme Lord Krishna, and he finds shanti. So this is the point that everyone asks the saintly person, has God given you peace? If you turn to God, if you surrender to God, if you establish your friendly relation with God, will you become peaceful? Yes. Krishna is telling in Gita, Shantam Richati, the promise of this is a peace formula. So Krishna is the Shanti Mani. Krishna is the jewel of peace. He's the Shanti Mani. He's the Chintamani. He fulfills the desires of living entities to find peace. You want to find peace? Then surrender to God. You want to find peace? Then serve God. You want to find peace? Then make friends with God. You want to find peace? Then love Krishna. Because he is the emperor of peace. But then the question arises, well, where does God go to find peace? What happens to Krishna? Because we get disturbed and agitated and full of anxiety, and you're saying, if we turn to God, then we can get free from our disturbance. So who does he turn to? He turns to Shanti Mani Radha. Because Radharani is the Chintamani gem for Krishna's agitation. She gives him peace. Radharani is Krishna's peace formula. Krishna is our peace formula. But who is Krishna's peace formula? Krishna's peace formula is Srimati Radhika Ki Jai. Krishna is peace for the conditioned souls. But Radhika is peace for Krishna. Therefore, she is glorified as Sham Kam Vara Shanti Mani. She's a crest jewel, Chintamani jewel that pacifies Sham's desire, cools and relieves his lust, and frees him from the attacks of Cupid.